Welcome to Sis Internet Radio. Sisters in Spirit, affectionately called Sis, is a nurturing environment for women that inspires harmony in everyday living, shares resources that empower, offers information and support that nourishes the soul, balances our mental and physical well-being, and promotes inner peace and heightened spirituality. Our vision is a world where women live consciously, harmoniously, and spiritually to positively impact our lives and the lives of those with whom we come into contact. Join us as we live life with style, grace, and of course, much joy. Greetings, sis family. Welcome to the show. Deborah of Sky, how are you this evening?
I'm awesome, Raisa. How are you?
I am doing really wonderful, very excited about this show and the series of shows that we have been doing. For those of you who have been listening on a regular basis, we have been doing shows that address healing the Holy Trinity, the mind, body, and the spirit, because healthy people live a more vibrant life, and vibrancy leads to a purpose and a fulfilled life, a life infused with harmony in your everyday living, which is our motto, infusing harmony into your everyday living. Tonight's guest is a remarkable sister who shares a journey of empowerment through holistic healing. She's a solopreneur. She teaches what she knows as a culinary nutritionist. She makes it very clear that natural healing is possible through diet, determination, and sheer will. But you have to do the work. Our guest is Halana Black. She created Raw Love for Women with Fibroids to teach women how to use raw foods to relieve your fibroid symptoms and transform your lives from feeling sick to having days filled with love, life, and laughter. She offers cooking classes, group coaching, and speaks on how life begins in the kitchen. Welcome, Halana. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we're glad to have you with us this evening.
Yes, so would you please take a few moments to start us off and tell us how you got into being a culinary nutritionist? Give us the definition of what a culinary nutritionist is, and tell us more about your journey.
Sure. Well, again, my name is Halana Black, and I am a culinary nutritionist. And how I define a culinary nutritionist is it's part personal chef and part holistic health coach. For the last, I would say, 2 years or so, I have been I started off teaching small cooking classes, you know, just for women who were interested in learning how to cook in a more healthy way. Most of the classes were vegetarian classes. And then I also had my blog at the same time called garlicandlemonsllc.com, where I talk a lot about my journey through trying to fight my way through having uterine fibroids. So I combined my two interests in cooking as well as my interest in holistic health, and I decided to call myself a culinary nutritionist as the best way to be able to describe to people exactly what it is that I do now as a profession. But you wanted me to talk a little bit about how I came to do this work in general?
Yes.
Okay. Well, everything that I learned about healthy cooking, I learned from my mom. And my mom passed away from breast cancer. She had a 10-year battle with breast cancer, and she died at the age of 49 in 2006. But over the 10 years, the reason that she was able to live for so long with breast cancer was because of the way that she was able to change her diet. Prior to her having the breast cancer, you know, we ate what, how many African-American households eat. You know, you eat a lot of fattening foods, a lot of meats. Our household, we had a lot of pastas and sweets and things. But she, my mom was really able to teach herself, you know, just through books and just doing a lot of research on her own, just how to be able to live with cancer longer through changes in diet. So, you know, of course, I got a little bit older, and she passed away, and I found out that I had fibroids, I would say probably in 2000, 2001. I had a lot of heavy bleeding, a lot of, you know, just a lot of pain in my uterus, and this went on for at least 10 years. And, you know, I knew that there were ways to be able to heal myself from the fibroids, but I really wasn't, you know, I didn't connect the two, that I could use some of the lessons that my mom had taught me and trying to use it towards healing my fibroids. At the same time, I was in a very toxic relationship. You know, my home life was very, very stressful. I was in jobs that were not fulfilling, and they were stressful as well. So I was never really able to rest. My diet was just crazy. I was eating all types of things, and I gained a lot of weight. I never really exercised at all. You know, so overall, my health was just really just in a bad place. And when I went to my doctor with my fibroids, the only thing that the doctor could suggest for me was using birth control pills or to get some sort of a surgery. So I took the birth control pills, and they did work for a while. However, after about 6 months or so, the heavy bleeding from your menstrual cycles, they started to get worse again. And they got so bad, it just got so bad to the point where I couldn't even leave the house because I was bleeding so much. You know, so I wound up getting a myomectomy, which is when you get a surgery to remove the fibroids, but you keep your uterus intact. Mm-hmm. And so when I got the myomectomy, they removed 8 large fibroids. And, you know, I went through the recovery period, which is about 6 to 8 weeks. It was, you know, very long and very, very painful for me. And, you know, but after you heal, you start to feel better, you get a little more energy. But 6 months after that surgery, I went back to the surgeon to go and get a checkup, and I was told that the fibroids were growing back, and I was absolutely devastated. And, you know, the reason I was so devastated was because I had believed what my doctors had told me, that if you had the surgery, my fibroids would be gone and I can go on with my life. But, you know, that simply wasn't true. And so that made me remember all of the lessons that my mom taught me about how you really need to take charge of your own health.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not saying don't listen to your doctors, but you should also be playing your own part in trying to keep yourself healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was when I really started to pay more attention to how to be able to use food and other lifestyle choices to be able to keep myself healthy. So that's basically how I started.
All right, so question, you mentioned symptoms, so that's one of the signs or ways that the body tells you that there's an issue. And I'm gathering that through your studies and the lessons that you've learned, you understand better how to listen to your body. So what would you tell someone who might have fibroid issues and is not aware of it, the things they need to watch for in their body?
Things they need to watch for, usually, for women with fibroids, let me say, first of all, that there's an estimate that says that about 80% of women have fibroids, women of adult childbearing age, but everybody doesn't know that they have fibroids because there's really no way to tell until the symptoms get so bad that you just want them going to the doctor. So it's usually because your menstrual cycles are very, very heavy. They just get increasingly heavy. You pass a lot of blood clots, and usually it'll get to the point where you're just bleeding through your clothes. for many women. So that's usually the first change that they see in their body before they even realize that they have fibroids at all. You know, it could take up to 5, sometimes even 10 years before a woman even realizes that she even had these fibroids in the first place.
Okay.
So it's generally that's the first physical change that you will notice when you have fibroids. And, of course, once you realize you have fibroids, for some women they may have difficulty conceiving a child. Others, you know, even if they do conceive a child, they may have frequent miscarriages and things like that.
Okay. So you said 80% of women have fibroids and they may not know about it. Is that
yes.
broken down more for a specific ethnicity? Do you know?
Well, generally for African American women, but for African American women, it's a lot higher. But in general, the general population of women in the United States has only said that about 80% have fibroids. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, they may be so small or so insignificant that they really don't produce any sort of symptoms. So most women may not even find out about it. But for some reason in African-American women, it does get to a point where the symptoms are so bad that you have to go in for things like, you know, surgeries, hysterectomies, and things like that.
And there's also a greater risk of fibroids when you're overweight or obese.
Yeah, that's one of the risk factors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but even when you say things like that, you know, I've met a lot of women who are African American who, you know, are rather thin and seem to be in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they also suffer with fibroids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is a list of risk factors, but a lot of women, you know, they'll say, well, I don't really fit into any of those and I still have fibroids, so, you know, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, risk factors simply means that you are at greater risk than
mm-hmm.
It's not to say that someone else who doesn't have these factors can't get whatever
mm-hmm.
this ease is as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so your thing is, you know, are you feeding that fibroid? Please tell us about how fibroids are fed and grow.
Well, I like to look at fibroids as a collection of toxic waste in your uterus. If you look at other, I guess, more medical books that describe what fibroids are, they'll tell you that fibroids are muscle tissues or masses of overgrown muscle in your uterus that have gotten out of control. Personally, I don't really care for that definition because it makes it sound as if, you know, you played no part in having those fibroids grow at all. It's just something that sort of popped up out of nowhere, and you can't really pinpoint where it came from. When you think of it as toxic waste that is building up in your uterus, you know, it's easier to be able to think, well, if it's toxic waste, somehow I put it in there or played a role in putting it in there. So that means that I can play a role in having the toxic waste taken out of my uterus. And hopefully you can do that without having to undergo some sort of a surgery.
Yeah. If you made it up, you can give it up. So what are some of these alternatives that are not surgical or intrusive?
Well, I like to look at it holistically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of women, they come to me and they feel bad because they want to consider some sort of a surgery because they are so far along in the growth of their fibroids that the symptoms are just so bad and they just can't live with it anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want women to feel bad for thinking that, you know, they somehow, you know, quote unquote, punked that because, you know, they went and got a surgery. I got a surgery. And the reason I had to get the surgery was because my symptoms were just so bad. I couldn't deal with the bleeding. You know, when you have so much bleeding that you can't go to work, it's a problem. But, you know, but you want to be able to also look at things holistically. What are the other areas in your life that are out of control that you can start to consider? And the first one I always look at is a person's diet. You know, many the whole talk of trying to eat healthier, a lot of women are a lot more open to that now, so it's easier to start with that. Just to be able to start looking at what it is that you're eating that your body may not be agreeing with. So some of the things that I suggest, particularly if your thyroid symptoms are really, really bad, is just to immediately pick out things like meat, dairy, eggs, and soy in particular. And the reason is because a lot of these items have so much estrogen. And when you read about fibroids, you'll see that a lot of the fibroids are grown through excess estrogen in the body. So if you eliminate some of the sources of estrogen that you are getting through food, you know, hopefully that will help your digestive system to be able to metabolize the estrogen that's already there, and just sort of move that out. So hopefully that will start to help get your fibroids, at least shrink them some, if it doesn't get rid of it altogether.
Okay.
Some other ways is just to look at your lifestyle. You know, stress. Stress is huge for a lot of African American women. You know, we live our lives with our heads down and we just run around from day to day taking care of everyone else and we neglect ourselves.
Okay.
But you know, taking the time to exercise is a great stress reliever. You know, you can't avoid stress altogether. Stress is a part of life, but you have to understand how to manage it. You know, and exercise is an excellent way to be able to do that. You know, do you have some sort of a spiritual practice that will help you to relieve some sort of stress? Look at the relationships in your life. Are your relationships causing you any excess stress? You know, are you happy at your job? That's another huge one. You know, so many women are, you know, going to work at jobs that they absolutely hate every day just because they need to be able to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But you're neglecting your passions. If you read anything by Queen Afua, she was the one that I learned about how fibroids are often formed because there's some sort of unexpressed creativity in your life, and it's all just sitting in your womb. You know, your womb or your uterus is the center of your intuition, your creativity in the world. And so when you're not using it or you're neglecting it for some strange reason, your body will turn against itself.
Yeah. So if you're not birthing your ideas on the outside, then you're manifesting something on the inside because you're not allowing it to be expressed.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder
But also, might as well, you can incorporate that as part of stress. You know, like you said, when we have stressors on the outside, they can manifest themselves within us physically, and that's along the same line when you're not expressing yourself. So that's another stressor that's manifesting itself inside of you.
Yeah, and I mean, and really that's the core of the things that I work with women. I call myself a culinary nutritionist, so a lot of people assume that most of what I do deals with food and food only, but I look at it everything in a holistic way to be able to sit down and talk with people about where your stress is, you know, what are your hopes and dreams for your life? Are you doing those things that you've always wanted to do, or, you know, have you long forgotten about them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that all of those things are very, very important. And when you ignore a lot of other things in your life, those things that would make you happy, you wind up eating a lot of bad foods because you're so stressed out, and you know, you just don't know how else to
pacify.
Right.
Pacify yourself. So food becomes the pacifier.
Exactly.
You mentioned foods that contribute, Helena, to fibroid growth. What are some foods that reduce the growth?
Yes. Well, it's not so much that there are certain foods that will reduce the growth of fibroids. Of course, you can take things like turmeric,
mm-hmm.
Which is a spice that's often used in curry, a yellow powdery spice that a lot of people add because people will often use it to shrink, whether they're cancerous or non-cancerous. But what I look at more is just trying to detoxify your body so that your liver, which is responsible for metabolizing estrogen, so that your liver will run a lot more efficiently and the rest of the eliminatory systems in your body will run more regularly. At least temporarily getting rid of the meat, I don't, always suggest that everybody needs to be vegan for life if you don't choose to be. If your fibroids are really at the point where they're just really bad, my strongest suggestion is for people to just cut out meat and meat products of all kinds until you get to a place where your symptoms are a little bit more manageable. Just using food to be able to constantly detoxify your body. The way I like to do it is through raw foods because I found that using raw food is a really quick way to be able to detoxify your body, as well as just being able to eat something on a regular basis. It's not something that you do when you feel like, you have to starve yourself. Many women who think of the word detoxify, if they're not familiar with it or haven't done it before, they think, you'll have to be hungry for a certain amount of days or, you don't eat or all you're drinking is water and that's it. But I like to teach women how to detoxify themselves through the use of food.
Healing foods. I went and grabbed Louise Hay's book, Heal Your Body, to see what she said as well about fibroid tumors and cysts. And she says it's caused by nursing a hurt from a partner, a blow to the feminine ego, and she offers an affirmation that says, I release the pattern in me that attracted this experience. I create only good in my life.
That's nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Helena, the treatment that you offer or the program that you offer to your clients, is it helpful for all the different types of fibroids overall, or would the treatment differ somewhat for a different type of fibroid?
Well, the different types of fibroids, you're talking about uterine fibroids, different types of uterine fibroids, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's various types of fibroids that are classified by where they grow.
Right.
On the uterus, so whether they're growing on within the wall of the uterus, on the outside of the uterus, or on the lining of the uterus. I would prescribe pretty much a very similar diet, no matter what type of a fibroid you have.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I would have to understand a bit about the person's, medical history and things like that. I don't just always prescribe the same exact thing for everybody because, everybody is different.
Right. So, we're dealing with body types, and what will work for one person's body may not work for someone else.
Right. And that person also has to be in a place where they're ready to be able to do those things. I've spoken to women who have multiple issues with their wombs. They have the fibroids, they've got endometriosis, they have all these other things going on with their wombs. But when I ask them to take the meat out, it's just like, I can't do it.
Thinking about that when you mentioned people being willing. Some people will say, well, I'll just rather go on and have an operation than to, work harder in terms of changing my lifestyle. They would just rather go and have an operation. So you're right. People have to be ready for the change.
Yeah.
And even if you are ready, still, once you get into it, get into the process, that you can rethink it because it's a lifestyle changes are very difficult
it
or
is.
Can be difficult. You can have the best of intentions went in, but once you get there and you've been eating healthy for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then you start having visions of cupcakes and all that stuff that you haven't been eating, you know, it can be rough.
Yeah. I mean, and I work with women in various levels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want people to think that just because, you know, if they can't do a raw diet, then you can't work with me.
Right.
I'm not 100% raw 100% of the time. I'm not even a vegan 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. I do eat small amounts of organic chicken and some fish when I feel like my body needs it. But
right.
for the most part, most of my diet is a vegan diet. You know, but sometimes I will supplement with other things if I want them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I understand, you know, when women say, I'm not ready to cut out the meat. You know, it's not so much really about willpower or trying to, if I'm going to do this detox, I have to stick with it for a certain amount of days, and if I don't do it, then I'm a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all of this is a journey.
Right.
You know, the first few times that I attempted to do a detox, you know, I lasted probably half a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I felt like, oh my God, I need to eat something. I'm going to starve. You know, just the things that you tell yourself is absolutely crazy.
Exactly.
You know, you have to learn how to think and be in a different way, and that takes time.
Yeah.
So, what's some of the mindset shift that has to occur in order for holistic healing to be effective of uterary fibroids?
That's a good question. A lot of the women that write to me, I usually get at least one letter a day where a woman says, you know, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, I have no energy. I've tried everything else. You know, I went out and I scheduled some sort of a surgery, but I got scared and I canceled it. You know, they're looking for something. They know that something else is out there, but they just don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if they do know what it is, they don't know how to navigate their way through it.
Right.
So they need somebody to hold them by the hand and just say, you know, let's start with this. Let's see how it goes. How do you feel about it? And, you know, we'll take it from there. So, yeah, it's usually women who are just, you know, tired of just going to the gynecologist, and the gynecologist really isn't giving you, it's not answering any of your questions about what your fibroids are. You know, that's very basic. What are your fibroids? Why are they there in the first place? No
right.
gynecologist can answer that question. You know, because there really isn't a lot of good medical research on fibroids. You know, for this to be such a widespread problem around the world, really, I get emails from women all around the world, India, African countries, South America, the Caribbean. You know, this is a worldwide problem, and women are getting absolutely no answers as to what they can do to heal themselves.
So let's talk about why it's such a widespread issue and it's not being addressed. You know, my first thought is that because it's not an immediate life or death thing, women are willing to suffer along with it.
Yeah.
What's your take on that, Helena? You know, you've studied this. You know a lot better than I do.
Well, I think because it's a women's issue, you know, women often are just not a priority in the medical establishment, and so it's just easier to say take some birth control pills or just get a hysterectomy and be done with it. Because that's generally how fibroids are taken care of, just getting a hysterectomy. Once the birth control pills stop working, you know, women are just told to just get rid of your uterus, and, you know, women are willing because they're just tired of bleeding so much. You know, so it's generally because women are just very much undervalued in the medical establishment. Another reason I think is because of industrialization. You know, certainly in the U.S., and as industrialization goes on more in other developing parts, so-called developing parts of the world, you know, it's being able to eat foods that, you know, come from the earth and are not processed and are not genetically modified, that's becoming more and more rare, unfortunately. Even, you know, it's, even in some of the poorest countries, you're going to find genetically modified foods. and the soil isn't what it used to be 10, 20, 30 years ago. You know, so just food in general is just changing. I've been doing a lot of research and just looking at how the role of women has changed in the world over time. As women are taking on more careers, we're having children at a much later age. And just, you know, just sort of this backup of estrogen and hormones in our bodies, no one teaches us how that actually works. And, you know, so women who have children at an earlier age are actually less likely to get fibroids, which is very interesting. You know, so I'm not saying don't go to school, don't have a career and any of that stuff, but I think it's something that's very interesting to look at. And I've been doing more research to figure out how I can write about this on my blog without having, you know, all the women turn against me.
There are many who are open to receiving, and those are the people who will be attracted to your blog.
Yeah.
No worries. Tell the truth. Put it out there. The truth will set us.
Yeah, and, you know, and overall, just like the role of birth control pills. You know, there's so many young girls around the world, as soon as they get their menstrual cycle, 13, 14, 16 years old, they get put on birth control pills for fear that they're going to get pregnant with absolutely no thought as to how that could change the chemistry of your entire body. And you're doing this for years on end until you decide that you want to be married and have children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I don't like birth control pills. I'm never taking them ever again.
And what you said is true. They, at a certain age, they get put on them. Many of them do. Some of them, you know, can try to ask a parent or someone for them, but most young women are put on birth control pills.
Right.
Yeah, instead of being responsible adults and teaching why it's important not to have sex before you're ready to have sex and going that route and monitoring your children, it's easier to just put them on birth control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if the uterus is the home of your creativity, it represents birth, and you're bringing forth life into the world. If your uterine is removed, what do you think is the spiritual and maybe even physical impact from that, Helena?
Speaking to a lot of women who get hysterectomies, they oftentimes become very depressed because of the drop in the hormones in their body. They become extremely depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, they start, some of them will start to, you know, grow facial hair, and just feeling like they're becoming more masculine, you know, not that they're becoming men, but just feeling more masculine, and they don't know what to do with that. You know, there's no club really to be able to talk to women about what a hysterectomy actually is and what the after effects will be. Actually, before I had gotten a myomectomy, the year before, I had gone to one doctor, and I had scheduled a surgery to get the myomectomy, which is when they just remove the fibroids itself and they keep the uterus intact. And he was saying that because my fibroids were so large, he was like, listen, I can't promise you that I can save your uterus. But he said, you know, but look on the bright side. If you don't have a uterus, you won't have to deal with having a period anymore. You know, and he kind of like tried to give me a high five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like something exciting.
Right.
You know, like you're a woman. You're supposed to have a monthly cycle. This is what's supposed to happen to you. You're not supposed to, you don't cut out your uterus just so that you don't have to deal with a monthly cycle anymore.
Until nature determines time for it to stop.
Right. And so, you know, the day before the surgery, I just called up and I said I canceled it because, you know, something in my heart was telling me, you know, he'll be too excited to give me a hysterectomy rather than really try and work hard to save my uterus.
Yeah.
That's honoring your body as your temple. You don't just throw away something that obviously has purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just you. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, unless you're facing something like cancer, I really don't think that there's any reason for a hysterectomy to even be considered at all, you know, unless it's something that's absolutely life-threatening.
Yeah.
Alana, can you share with us some of the more traditional medicine treatments for fibroids and maybe why, you know, the detrimental effects they might have on the body as opposed to going the natural route?
Well, some of the more traditional types of therapy, well, of course, is the hysterectomy where they usually remove the uterus and the ovaries and everything else. There is the myomectomy, which I talked about, I had, where they just, you know, they open up the uterus and they remove the fibroids that are causing the most bleeding, and it's usually the ones that are on the inside of the uterus, on the inside lining of the uterus, that cause the most bleeding. So you can have fibroids on the outside of your uterus, on the lining, but they may not remove those because those usually are not the ones that cause a lot of bleeding. And then, of course, there is, what do you call it? The, what is it called?
Is that LNG, IUS?
There's letters in it. For some reason, the term is escaping me at the moment. But what they do is they go into your uterus through a very slight opening through your stomach, and then they put some sort of a particle that into the blood vessels that are feeding your fibroids, and they put some sort of particles in there to sort of stop the blood flow so that your fibroids will eventually die off. You know, so that's another way to be able to use it. I consider that as the first choice to get rid of my fibroids. However, the gynecologist that I spoke to said that she does not recommend that for women who have not had children and would like to have children, because there's just not enough research to say that you would still be able to have children after you have the surgery. And so that's what they would call a minimally invasive surgery. So you can go into the hospital and pretty much go home the same night after you have that sort of a surgery. The myomectomy, you have to be in the hospital for 2, 3, 4 days, you know, depending on how much bleeding you've had. You know, you usually wind up having some sort of a blood transfusion while you're having it, because it is a major surgery.
Wow.
Of course, you're at home for the next 6 weeks. You can't leave the house. You can't go to work. So you need to be able to afford the time at home to be able to sit home and heal.
I found that interesting when you mentioned that before, the number of weeks you will be out with, you said, the myomectomy?
Myomectomy, yes.
Myomectomy, yeah, because now most surgeries are, you know, you have the surgery and you're down for a couple of days. But I found that interesting when you said that it was still 6 to 8 weeks recovery time for that particular surgery. And I just want to make a correction. The procedure that stops the blood flow is a UAE, uterine artery embolism. And the other procedure that I was talking about, that is when you insert this plastic tube into the uterus. But the UAE is the one that stops the blood flow.
Right.
So it's my understanding as the fibroids grow, then they start to push against other organs and you begin to have issues with other parts of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Finish the question.
I was just asking, how does that occur and what's happening there?
Generally, your fibroids can push up against sometimes your bladder. So you may feel like, you know, you have to urinate more frequently, or, you know, you're feeling like you're losing the amount that your bladder can hold, because your fibroids are just pushing up against your bladder so much. Also, for some women, Your fibroids can push against your lower intestine. So that can cause a lot of blockages in the colon, which could cause a lot of gas, bloating. A lot of women with fibroids can suffer from a lot of just general bloating all the time. And if you're eating a diet where you're eating a lot of meat and things like that, where it's probably very difficult, even without the fibroids, for you to be able to eliminate from your colon on a regular basis, you can imagine how the situation could just get worse when you have fibroids. So, for many women who have fibroids, as the fibroids grow, they oftentimes will compare the size of your fibroids to the size of a baby that's growing in your womb. I've seen some women with fibroids, and they look like they're at least 6-7 months pregnant. So you can imagine just how large that belly can get, and, just having that amount of pressure on either your bladder or your intestines could be very, very uncomfortable.
You're listening to Helena Black of Raw Love for Women with Fibroids. Helena, would you please give us some more information about your organization and the ongoing programs that you have?
I'm sorry, what was the first part again?
Some information on your organization, and ongoing programs that you have for women with fibroids.
Okay. Well, I'm a culinary nutritionist, and so women come to me for various reasons. They come to me, one of my specialties is doing womb work and helping women to change their diet so that they can change the health of their womb and the rest of their body. So I offer cooking classes. I offer health coaching, one-on-one health coaching. And then right now I'm doing a special program for women who are interested in using raw foods to be able to detox their bodies. It's called Raw Love Program for Women with Fibroids. And what it is a 7-day cleanse to be able to teach you how to be able to use the raw foods to continue to detox your body. So you'll be detoxing things like your liver. You'll be, detoxing your whole digestive system, your lymph nodes, and things like that. So at the end of the 7 days, women will be able to track, how much better they feel using the raw foods. They should have more energy. They should be thinking a little bit more clear than they were in the beginning. What I always tell women is that anytime you do some sort of a program, you're not going to be able to heal your fibroids or get rid of your fibroids in 7 days. It's impossible. Right. Even if you go to a doctor, they can't offer you a solution that's going to permanently heal your fibroids. But what I do with women is I teach you how to be able to look at certain areas of your life and figure out, what could I do to be able to change my lifestyle patterns, my eating patterns, so that I can prepare a body that will be less hospitable to fibroids and other diseases like endometriosis or being overweight or whether you have acne or whatever those things are. You'll be able to look at all of those areas in your life when you're doing a detox. It just so happens that this particular detox program is for women who have fibroids.
Yeah, and also you want to address the mental thought patterns that help create this experience of fibroids in your body, too.
Absolutely. So during the detox, I focus on doing a lot of journal exercises. Where you'll be able to really just sit down and think about what it is that's going on in your life. One of the really great things that happens when you're on a detox is that when you're purging your body of all the toxins that are in there, particularly in the first 1, 2, and 3 days, a lot of stuff just from out of nowhere just starts coming up. Nothing seems right. Everything gets on your nerves. and, you know, a lot of truths that you may have stuffed down for years and years may start coming out. You know, so there might be some patterns that you might start to say, you know, I can no longer live with this. And the reason that is because you're starting to think a little bit more clearly about what it is that you've been doing, as opposed to, as you said earlier, pacifying yourself with junk food all the time just so you can get through the day.
Yeah, and you're starting to take back your power. You understand that even if you're not verbally expressing it that way, you understand that you've been giving your power away and you're ready to take it back.
Right.
We want to invite our listeners to press the number one if you have a comment or question that you'd like to ask our special guest.
Thank you.
Alana, could you tell us a little bit more about the Garlic and Lemons blog? I just love that name, and the site is just so lively and upbeat. Can you just talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. I write a blog. I usually post in my blog generally 2 to 3 times a week, and I post a lot about, you know, what I'm going through as far as what my journey through fibroids. I post a lot of really great recipes on the blog. Recipes. I never put anything that, you know, that is, you know, meat based or anything. What I like to do on my blog is I like to be able to teach women that you can eat a vegetarian meal, and it'll taste great, and, you know, you'll feel great at the end of the meal. You know, so I spend a lot of time trying to convince women that, you know, eating vegan and vegetarian foods, you know, it actually tastes good. You know, it doesn't hurt to be healthy. I also talk about things like exercise, and, you know, just trying to find ways to be able to get interesting exercise into your life. And I also will do interviews with other people, who are following their own dreams and, you know, just trying to encourage other women to be able to do the same. My most recent interview I did was with a woman who started something called Soca Motion. You know, she's from the Caribbean, and she loves soca music and dancing to soca music, and so she decided to take that and turn that into an exercise class, which I thought that was absolutely brilliant. You know, for a lot of women who find that, you know, exercise is completely boring. You know, this is a way to be able to mix culture and exercise and, you know, have it be fun. You know, so I like to be able to show other women what other women are doing to be able to live their dreams. And, you know, so it's not always specifically about fibroids only, but just the whole gamut of holistic health and wellness.
It all carries over because your actions, your diet, all that contributes to your overall well-being, and diet is such a huge player in that. And diet is driven by your thoughts about food, your culture, and all of that. So definitely a paradigm shift is needed there.
And the blog is actually, it's located at garlicandlemonsll.com.
You want to provide your contact information as well?
Sure. You can send me an email at chef@garlicandlemonsllc.com. That was chef, C-H-E-F. And I can also give a phone number as well. My phone number is 347-674-0841. And if you just wanted to go online, again, my blog site where you can get all my contact information and do a little bit more research on me if you're interested, is garlic, G-A-R-L-I-C, and A-N-D, lemons, L-E-M-O-N-S, L-L-C.com.
Let me see. I think we might have a caller with a question. I'm going to call the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you have a question, you're welcome to the air. Caller 6857.
Yes. Hi, Peace Family.
Welcome.
How are you all? This is Cherie from New York.
Hi,
welcome,
Cherie.
Hi. Hi, hello, now. Hi, Cherie, how are you?
I'm fantastic now that I hear your voice. I have to tell the listeners, I've had the first of all, I'm out and about, but I broke away from the fun to take time to just share with you how wonderful Helona is. Helona, her cuisine is amazing. She teaches you to love the new foods with your familiar taste buds. And I don't know if you can understand that. If you're a person who, say, loves scavengers and you want to stop eating them, Helona shows you a way to cook and still have that flavor that you love and that is familiar to you and that, you know, food is happiness.
So yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So Helona, her cooking, her love cooking, her love cuisine allows you to have that experience. But more importantly, about the fibroids, I started the call. I got in about 8:30, so I missed the first half. But as a person who is supposed to have her uterus removed on August 20th, I'm happy to be here. Yeah, no, but it's not happening because I am making – look, everybody, look, it was like death in the family. You all are funny. But I'm not going to do that. I've been working with the nutritionist, and also I am taking the apple cider vinegar and molasses concoction in the morning and at night. And I don't have the heavy bleeding, but my question is, how, in your research, how important is having, one, an IUD, because I had that, and I think that is playing a part. So I'm about to have that removed.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I was wondering the placement, because you did say it does make a difference whether it's intrauterine or external. Mine is on the fundus, which is the outside. So maybe you could speak to that for me.
Well, the IUD in particular, I would suggest that if you can, just to get it removed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in general, I had spoken a little bit earlier about, you know, this birth control in general, I don't agree with it. You know, anything that you have to take or implant inside of your body, you know, this changes the overall chemistry of your body, and why do you really need to do that? You know, what's really the underlying thought behind doing that to a woman's body? But also, many of the birth control pills increases a lot of the estrogen and progesterone
mm-hmm.
that you have in your body, and
right.
that also will block your liver. So that's why your nutritionist is suggesting you do the apple cider vinegar, because that's something that you can take to help to rev up the way that your liver functions so that it could cleanse itself a little bit quicker.
That's the association, and that's the missing component that I failed to realize, or maybe I failed to ask, but because I'm here in this comfortable form, I could. So thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a great question and great input, Cherie.
Thank you.
So,
did you have a second part to your question?
Not really. I just have this. I'm going to keep working on it. Instead of coming in to have the, this is just a comment, instead of going in to have the uterus removed, because I believe I need all my parts. I came here with all my parts. I'm supposed to
right.
with all my parts.
Absolutely,
unless I choose to donate them, then that's something different. But I think my parts are important. You know, I don't think God, you know, the universe would have given them to me. You know, he would have made me uterineless if I didn't need it, but I must need it.
Right.
So, yeah. I was a candidate for the surgery that was 6 to 8 weeks. And because I'm an entrepreneur, I really do not have the leisure of being out of commission for 6 to 8 weeks. That is something that is not. So, you know, I'm grappling with it, but at the same time, I was like, I really don't have to grapple with it. All I need
right.
to do is make the decision that I'm going to eliminate sugar. I'm going to you know, do this, do that. And also, you know, I have another question. I had, I'm going to be transparent because I feel like it's going to help somebody. I had more than one abortion when I was in my teens. And I'd like to know, have you, in your research, had anyone draw any correlations between them?
I, you know what, Cherie, I'm thanking you right now for that question, because I have been struggling with whether or not I should be transparent with that as well. And I will right now. I have had two abortions when I was young as well. And from research that I have done, I haven't found not one research article that talks about whether or not abortion has anything to do with fibroids, and I really think that it does because of the shame and embarrassment that comes from having an abortion. You don't want to tell anybody. It's one of those things that you push down, and you don't want anybody to know about that. So that's one of those, you know, those spiritual things that, you know, you're not going to find that in any medical book.
That's another stressor, spiritual stressor to the body that you're seeing, and it's manifesting.
Your uterus is really the center of your body's memory. You know, all of those things that you may want to forget, that you may want to push away, your uterus will remember, and it'll onto that.
Yeah. And if you think about it as your center of creativity and bringing forth life, you didn't allow life to come forth, so a substance that is the opposite and doesn't represent life can come forth. But we've got 3 minutes left in the show.
So that's a place of healing that has to take place, and, you know, removing it, you know, letting it out, letting it go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm going to quote Helena. She says, you must get off your ass and exercise when it's too hot, too cold, and when you plain old don't feel like it. It means doing the inner work to analyze how your personal relationships are working for or against you. Healing means asking yourself if you are fulfilling your life's purpose. So, Helena, would you please close out and leave us with a quote or a comment of your own that you'd like to share?
One of the quotes that I like to share with people is one that I use on my blog and usually when I go out to speak with people. I tell people that life begins in the kitchen. We really need to get back to working in the kitchen. Women in general have just turned themselves against the kitchen, thinking that that's an old way of living. You know, women don't really need to be able to do those things anymore in the kitchen, when we really do. Women are the center of the family, and so we need to embrace that again. Not saying that you can't have a career or that you can't do other things with your life, but we really need to remember that our own lives begin in the kitchen, and what you put in your mouth is going to be reflected in the way that you live your life. You know, so I'd like for people to be able to think about that.
And you hear women now that they don't know how to cook. And cooking, your being in that kitchen with that food puts your own energy and adds a vibration and vibrancy to that food that makes it healing for you. Sky, can you close us out?
Sure, I will. Just thank you again, Helena, for being with us, and Cherie, for your contributions and making yourself a platform for other people to learn from as well. My quote was, the doctor of the future will no longer treat the human frame with drugs, but rather will cure and prevent disease with nutrition. And that's from Thomas Edison.
Love Thomas.
It's a wonderful quote.
Helena, thank you so much for joining this show this evening. A lot of great information was shared for many, and I know that they will tap in and will be driven to click that link, you know, go to your site. One more time, we've got a few seconds left, your contact information.
Sure. My blog is at garlicandlemonsllc.com. You can also reach me by email at chef, C-H-E-F, at garlicandlemonsllc.com. And you can also call me at 347-674-0841.
Thank you all for joining the show. We hope that you've enjoyed it as much as we have. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
You've been listening to This Internet Radio. Until the next time, enjoy the fluid flow of life by remembering to infuse harmony into your everyday living.